Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry, whether you're in animal welfare or a pet business that's for profit. We want to help you get some PR for your organization. Hello, everyone. I'm Mary Tin, one of the hosts of the show, along with my buddy, Alexandre Ricard, who lives in the lovely town of Vancouver, but she originally hails from France. Right, Alex?
Yeah. Hi. Bonjour, tout le monde. Talking about France, I just received a package from my hometown. One of my friends sent me a big package for my birthday, and there's a French brand of chips that is making new flavors, and it's falafel flavored chips. And I just received that, and I'm really excited to try it. So I just thought I would share.
Oh my God. Did she send over like croissants or?
No, those wouldn't chocolate. Stay fresh, unfortunately. So yeah, it's just chips. And then there was like, yeah, mostly like, but you know, even French chips, I feel like they're just like more like gourmet. So I do like that.
Well, everything about Europe is a little more gourmet, I feel like, than the U.S.
I agree. And you know what? Since living in Vancouver, I was trying some other things she sent me, and I felt like everything from France wasn't as salty. I was like, I'm missing salt. And I think it's because in North America, everything is more salty. Because I was like, those chips were always very salty in France. Why are they less salty now? And I think it's just me getting used to the North American salt.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, don't do that, Alex.
I know.
You don't want your blood pressure to go up because isn't salt connected to blood pressure? I think so.
And we're here also with Mark Winter, Pet Life Radio, our amazing producer. He's the one who gets us to you each and every week. Hey, Mark, how is your blood pressure?
My blood pressure is fine. You know, when we were in Paris, we brought home a ton of chocolate from Paris.
Yeah.
It's different. It tastes different. And we brought home so much, it lasted us like 4 years. So
4 years of chocolate.
Time to go back and re-up our chocolate supply.
I'll send you some next time I go to France. I'll just send you a package full of chocolate.
Good. We like that.
Hey, so what's going on in the Pet Life Radio world? What kind of shows are coming up?
We have coming up on Arden's show on O Behave, we're going to be having Stephanie Powers on, if you remember Heart to Heart.
Oh,
and
yes!
The girl from Uncle way back.
Oh my God.
So she'll be coming up in the next month.
Wow. Yeah, Arden gets the oldies but goodies. And, you know, she's like one of Oprah's favorite pet podcasts.
Yeah, 3 years in a row.
Wow.
She was on Oprah's favorite pet podcast list.
Well, we're really honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network. And we also want to tell you that you can do public relations for yourself. And Alex, Mark, and I want to help you each and every week by having an amazing guest.
Yeah, today we have a really good guest on the podcast. Her name is Tori Mystic. She's the founder and owner of Wag, Wear, Repeat and the host of a very popular podcast with the same name. In both of these endeavors, Tori helps pet businesses grow their businesses online. She's been in the digital marketing industry for over 15 years. And for the past 12 years, she's been growing her dog lifestyle blog, Wear, Wag, Repeat, into an impactful and profitable business. She's had the opportunity to experiment with many, many, many strategies, and more than 450 petpreneurs have completed her courses. Welcome, Tori. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I have done many, many, many different strategies.
Well, yeah, you've been on it for over 15 years, so that gives you time to try and fail and try again and succeed.
Exactly. And that's the beauty of having your own business is, you know, I don't have anyone telling me I have to keep doing something or I have to give something up. I can kind of try things. I'm more agile in my business than someone who has a big team. I can just be like, oh, we're going to do this other thing today.
Yeah, I love that. And how did you end up in the pet industry? What brought you there?
Yes. So, you know, on my podcast, I have like over 350 episodes, and I'm always talking to people who are like, when I was 6 years old, my mom showed our poodles in dog shows, and like they were just kind of born into the pet industry. And I didn't really have that experience. So I came into it, you know, in my probably 20s, my mid 20s, mid to early 20s. And we've got our first dog when I was maybe like 13 or so. So we didn't have dogs when I was really little, but the dog that we had, as I became older and moved out of the house, she really became my dog because nobody else in our family was sticking around to take care of the dog. So Lola became my dog. And pretty soon I wanted to get a new dog companion of my own. So that's how I got my dog Lucy. And so this is kind of long story short, but Lucy is really how I was inspired to get into the pet industry. I created my blog, Wear, Wag, Repeat, to really document all the fun things that we were doing together. And prior to this blog, I actually had a fashion blog a Ooh. Long time ago, and it was about eco-friendly fashion. And that was really fun to do. But when I quit it, I really still wanted a new creative outlet, and that's how I came up with the idea for Wear, Wag, Repeat. And my original tagline for that was, I wear it, they wag it, and then we repeat. So I would do like outfit photos, and then also just like photos of the dogs hiking in the woods. And it was just a combination of all the things that I love. So like a classic lifestyle blog. But what I found was, all the pet stuff really took off. Like people weren't really coming and going gaga over my fashion posts, but the pet community was showing up and commenting on all of my pet posts. And that's how I met a lot of other pet bloggers and discovered the whole world of pet blogging. And then, as they say, the rest is history.
And that's where I met you. Back in November, we went to a Blog Paws conference, which is a conference for pet bloggers and pet content creators now. And yeah, that's where I met you and I heard all about your story.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. And so some of the like founders of Blog Paws and the early people who were involved back in the day, those were the kind of people I was meeting when I first started my blog. And it was just like such a welcoming community because pet people are just so nice and welcoming. And it turns out the fashion bloggers were not. So, so that's
I
how
have I heard
up,
that.
Yeah. I ended up not being a fashion blogger, but being a dog blogger.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Were you like one of the first pet bloggers? I feel like you were. You were one of the leaders.
So I would say I was one of the first dog mom bloggers or dog mom influencers. So there were definitely other people sharing their pets, but they would never, ever show their face and definitely didn't want their face on video. And like some like Alex's cat wants to be on video.
Yes.
And so, yeah, so I started doing pet influencer campaigns when they first started. I'm like the grandma of the pet influencers, but I was putting myself in the content, which really nobody else was doing.
So tell us about some of those first accounts you did and what did you do? Like, what did you do for content back then?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was on Instagram before Reels were invented, before Stories were invented. So it was really different. You know, we were posting still photos a lot. And back then, a lot of times I would reach out to brands independently. There were no influencer agencies or platforms where you connect with brands or anything like that. And I liked the old way because I liked working directly with the brands. And a lot of times I would work directly with the owners if it was a small company. And, you know, we just like meshed really well and we could be creative. Mm-hmm. And I just loved it so much. And it's different now, which is fine. But I loved it back then. So like, for example, a brand that I worked with that I did all the outreach, it was Huggle Hounds, which makes awesome stuffed animals. And I still have some of these stuffed animals from this campaign that we probably did 8 or 9 years ago. And so like one of the photos that we did, they had a line called Yoga Hounds, and they were all these cute little stuffed animals, and on their tush, they had embroidered words like serenity and peace. And it was just all about like, you know, yoga. There was like some sort of like om symbol on the stuffed animals. And so I took my dog Bert to a doga class. We actually went to a yoga class where your dog was invited. It was outdoors. And I took these stuffed animals and I asked the instructor, you know, will you help me take some pictures? And so I did all these yoga poses, like holding the stuffed animal above my head. And then Bert would be doing like downward dog next to me. It was really fun.
Oh, that's such original content. I'm curious, what do you think about the industry today and today's new influencers and creators?
Well, I think it's shifted so much. And what kind of continues to amaze me is that there's someone out there starting their dog's Instagram account today and they're brand new and they're like, I want to be a dog influencer. And it's just kind of wild to me because I've been doing this for so long. But you know, what I've seen is that a lot of people who were doing this back when I started are no longer in the field at all. They've, shifted gears or who knows what direction their life took. But I've stayed in this path and I've kind of immersed myself in it and have really become an expert on pet health and wellness and lifestyle. So I got certified in canine enrichment a couple of years ago because I really felt like if I was going to be sharing any content, you know, people love sharing their like enrichment topple art that they were making. And, you know, I think the Westpaw topple toy is very popular to share on social media because it's very Instagrammable if you stuff it in a creative way. But I wanted more substance to my content. I kind of got a little tired of posting pretty pictures. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to really know that I was sharing from a place of expertise. And I was sharing, you know, information that was actually going to be beneficial to people and their dogs. So I sought out this certification and got certified in canine enrichment. And so I feel like I've put myself in a situation where I'm a little overqualified for a lot of influencer stuff these days because I have become this enrichment expert and I do have over a decade of experience doing influencing stuff. And right now, I think that a lot of brands and agencies are looking for these micro influencers for many reasons. But, you know, I think a lot of it is budgetary. And then oftentimes these micro accounts, you know, they can have a highly engaged small audience. Whereas, and I'll be totally transparent, my account, I have like 40,000 followers or something like that on Instagram. It's not very engaged. I've had this account for over 10 years. So if I were to go through my followers list, there's a lot of accounts that don't exist anymore or people who their account still exists, but it's not active. They haven't maybe checked it in years. So I'm happy to tell people transparently that I think all these numbers are just such vanity metrics. I think it really depends on like the message that you're sharing and what your goals are. So, you know, I think nowadays with a lot of influencer campaigns, for budget reasons, they want to partner with these micro influencers, but sometimes these people might not have any pet expertise and they might not be sharing the safest content or influencing you to do the best things with your pets. You know, there are some kind of frightening trends out there that you see of trending content. So, you know, hopefully it will kind of continue to keep shifting and turning and we'll find like quality over quantity rises to the top once again, I hope.
You know, there's a publication called The Woof that just did an article about influencers. I don't know if you saw it, but they talked a lot about how they want brands especially and, you know, social media, Gen Z especially, they want people with expertise. So like there's a trend right now with vet influencers, mm-hmm. you know, which is similar to your canine enrichment that you were talking before. Have you found that like are brands coming to you or people coming to you solely because you have that expertise that, you know, the random dog influencer doesn't have?
Yes. Yeah. So especially recently, like within this year, I have partnered with a couple of different brands that have brought me on as their canine enrichment expert. Wow. And I'll create special canine enrichment activities exclusive to them every single month. And we turn it into really fun content. Oh. So that's been really fun. But I do agree. I've seen the vet influencers. I've seen other people who are, you know, decades long veterans of the industry who are telling me they want to become an influencer. And I'm like, really? Like you're I think you're like a superstar of the industry. You want to be an influencer, but everyone just, you know, we want to get reputable information out to pet owners because there's so much not good information out there. So the more that we can amplify people who've actually done the research and the studies and done the work for decades, you know, I totally support that.
I have a question about, so you must work with a lot of PR agencies too.
I do.
And tell us about that. Tell us, you know, what are your pet peeves about working with them? What are some of the good things? What do you notice about the better ones? And what do you notice about the bad ones?
Well, I think that, so you mean like PR agencies who manage influencer campaigns and that kind of stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
So I have worked with a number of them over the years. And the bad ones in general are ones who don't give the influencer any sort of say or creative freedom, because typically we know what's going to perform well with our audience. And so what works really well on one account might not work really great on another account. And especially if you have a campaign that has a bunch of different niches involved, like there's mom accounts, there's lifestyle and health accounts, there's dog accounts. You know, there might be some product that has crossover across all of these different sectors. There's no way we could all be posting the same exact content. It's not going to work. So I think in my experience, the ones that I'm like, if that's what you want me to do, like, sure, if you're going to pay me, I'll do it. But those are the ones where I can typically tell you beforehand, it's not going to perform well.
Yeah.
So the ones on the flip side, the ones that are better and more fun to work with and get better results are the ones that kind of take a more collaborative approach.
Wow. And not to get super personal, but what have you seen in terms of payment of influencers? How has that been?
Well, it's all over the place. I mean, you know, before the pandemic, I think was kind of the peak, mm-hmm. I think, of payments. Which I can't believe is like over 5 years ago. But I'm always like, before the pandemic, after the pandemic, oh, that was 5+ years ago. But at least in my business, that was kind of the peak of revenue from influencer stuff. In 2020, so many companies completely froze their marketing budgets. And I don't think it ever came back to where it was before that. People just maybe, you know, reprioritize their spending in different ways. And there's just been so much uncertainty for the past several years. So, you know, there are people out there who are charging a lot of money for their posts. But like when we were at Blog Pause, there was a panel discussion that had, it was the panel that you were on, Mary. It had you and Megan Rose and Paige from Pride and Groom. And Megan said that the going rate for influencer posts is $50 these days. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was just like so annoyed when she said that. I was like, that's not right. It's so much work and all this and that. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, I think that is the truth of the matter. And so that's fine. It's just not the work for me these days, because like I said, that's why I feel like I'm overqualified for some of this work now, because I don't want to even work on those $50 things where they're like, post this picture and it's just like boring pictures, boring captions, kind of. It doesn't inspire me. I want to be creative and create cool stuff, and I want to share my expertise. So I haven't really been doing so much influencer stuff lately because, yeah, the budgets have really changed.
Well, I think, you know, it's hard for brands, especially like all the smaller brands that are listening to us. There's so many influencers. The market is oversaturated. And when you're saying that some people still want to become dog influencers, I see it every day. Like, people are still trying. And I mean, kudos to them. But I don't know how it's going to go. And that's why I think like, yeah, the shift is going to people who have expertise, vets, vet nurse, people who took courses and like nutritionists or, you know, for pets, because there's just too many dog, cat, guinea pig influencers. And especially I feel like today, and tell me if I'm wrong, Tori, but a lot of people can go viral really easily with just like a little cute video, but then the next video is going to perform so bad. So like, it's not because you put money in someone who has like two videos that went viral that that video is going to go viral. So yeah, I think even for brands, it's like, well, I wasted that much money, so now I'm only going to put $50 in everybody.
Yeah, I think that can kind of, you know, put a bad taste in people's mouths. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a great example of you can create an account and maybe go viral with two videos. But that person, you know, good for them. Congrats on your viral video. But they're not building a brand. So, you know, a lot of these small influencer accounts who want to do stuff, who want to take the $50 posts and things like that, are they still going to exist a year from now? Is their account even going to exist? Are they going to be active? So I think that's just the difference of some accounts versus others. Like, so, you know, myself and some of these other people who've been at it for a long time, we've made this our entire career. We've invested in certifications and courses and all kind of stuff. And we have our personal brands built around this. And we've been building trust with our audiences for over a decade, a lot of us. And, you know, it's not to say that people starting out can't get into it. And you know, I don't want anyone to feel like, you know, I'm 10 years behind. I can't start now, because you can start anytime. But I think that for small brands listening to this, you know, just ask yourself, will this account that I want to partner with, will they be around a year from now? Do they have the track record of building a brand that aligns with your brand and your messaging and your values? If they're brand new and they have two videos, how can you possibly know like what their values are?
And Tori, do you do UGC content as well? Or do you only focus on your content that you can post for yourself, for your brand?
Yeah, I don't really do UGC content. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, you know, we've heard about Tori's influencer hat, but you do far more than that. So when we come back, we're going to take a break. We're going to ask Tori about other ways she is helping petpreneurs. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Tori Mystic behind Wear, Wag, Repeat. Tori, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think you also help a lot of petpreneurs. How does that look like? How do you help them?
Yes. So thank you so much. So I currently have a membership called Wear, Wag, Repeat Society. And this is actually the fifth year of my membership. So I started it in January 2021. And we've been consistently, I've been consistently putting out new lessons and content and guides and all kinds of stuff every single month. So there's 50 plus archived workshops and lessons and awesome stuff. Like, we've done some panel discussions within the membership with some different expert bloggers and expert influencers. And I've had other guest experts come on and talk about SEO. I even had an accountant come on and talk about profit first accounting. So I'll bring in. Yeah, I know, it's exciting. So I'll bring in people who can share their expertise with my members, and it's all in there, and people get access to all of that. Plus, we have a monthly call together where we just kind of set our goals for the month and have a little time to brainstorm and workshop and talk amongst ourselves. And then I also have weekly office hours with my members. So every single week, they can send me private messages. And on Thursday mornings is when it's my like office hours. So on Thursday mornings, I go and I check my inbox and I'll reply to everybody. And then they can go work on their thing. And then they can update me the next week on how it's going.
I love that.
Yeah, it's really fun. So
Oh, so it's like personal one-on-one time with you?
Yes. So it has a mix of one-on-one and group time. And then plus all the recorded stuff is self-paced and you can do it whenever. Because I have found, you know, in doing this for almost 5 years, is that I've changed it over the years. Like, there was a period of time where we had weekly calls, but I was getting the vibe that a lot of people had FOMO and they were like feeling bad that they couldn't come to all these weekly calls, and it was just overwhelming and it was too much. So I think this is actually a common misstep that a lot of entrepreneurs make, is we feel like we want to give people everything. We want to give them more, 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 but sometimes less is more. And I think that my members are finding more value in having our once a month call, and then I have my weekly office hours, versus having four calls with the whole group every single month. It was just too much.
We've heard it with Mary a lot. So many petpreneurs, they say they don't have time to take those kind of courses, or, you know, they don't have the money right now. And like, oh, I can't focus on my marketing because of all those excuses. And we think they're making a mistake. Can you tell them why marketing is so important for the business or nonprofit?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you guys. And I hear the same kind of pushback from people all the time. The number one is, yeah, I'm cutting back on my expenses, or I don't have time, or I'm so overwhelmed, or whatever it is. You really have to make time, because, you know, it's kind of like that saying that the best day to plant a tree was yesterday and the second best day is today. So if you're not taking action, you're just missing out on that potential growth, just like a tree. You know, I have a tree in my backyard that I ordered this. I saw a picture online of this like beautiful, it's like this weeping red bud with all these pink flowers. And I'm like, that's going to be so awesome. And I ordered it and it came, and it was literally a stick in like a little root ball bag. And I was like, what am I going to do with this stick? This is so dumb. But I was like, well, I guess there's no harm. I'll just dig a hole and plant it and we'll just see what happens. Now it's a huge tree and it's growing every year and it's beautiful and I love it. And it has, you know, hundreds of little limbs and leaves and flowers on it and everything. So that's just like your marketing. You know, it's, you have to plant that ugly little stick in the dirt. You think this looks like nothing, this looks like crap, but you have to just plant it and do the work and make that initial investment so that it can grow into this big, beautiful thing, you know, and that's just like your marketing, really.
Have you seen, so I am sure that people have come to you with, you know, their stories and maybe they're having a bad day or something like that. Can you give us an example of like, you know, maybe one of your students who just really blossomed like that tree?
Aww. You're putting me on the spot, Mary. Okay, so one person who I would love to shout out, especially because you guys probably know her, but Emily Hall from Kitty Cat Go.
Oh, yes.
So she was in my membership back in the early days. And then, you know, life got in the way. She left for a while, which is totally cool. I'm still here, guys. I'm not, you know... I'm not going to disappear on you. So Emily came back to my membership this year, which is so awesome and exciting. And her business was just in a place where she wanted to work on her marketing and get more involved in things. So she recently was asking me some questions, and I know this is fine with her to share because she was posting about it herself all over Facebook, is that, you know, she has a podcast and she was feeling really overwhelmed by the prospect of doing the show notes and doing the this and doing the that and making a blog post about it. And I was like, Emily, this was in one of our office hours, one-on-ones. I said, Emily, you don't have to do the show notes and the blog posts. You could just release the podcast episode. You know, I have hundreds of podcast episodes. My show notes, blog posts never really get that much traffic. You know, I look at my Google Analytics. They're not the most popular blog posts on my blog. So I was like, you don't have to do anything. There's no law or rule about this. You can do whatever you want. And so she was just like ecstatic, the weight that was lifted. Aww. And she felt this like freedom of, I can do it however I want to do it. And she also said it just saved her hours and hours per week of trying to manage all this stuff. So, you know, I don't know that I would equate her to my tree analogy, but I just, you know, that's a recent example that popped into my mind because it's just nice and fresh. That's why it's nice to have someone you can bounce ideas off of who can just say, like, you know, there's all these experts out there on social media sharing, you know, here, you have to do this way. Here's like the 5 habits you have to do when you wake up at 5:30 in the morning. Or
oh, whatever. Gosh.
You don't have to do any of that. You don't have to do anything a certain way. And I think especially as women entrepreneurs, we always feel like we have to do it perfectly. You have to do it right. You have to follow the rules and it has to be just right. And guess what? It doesn't. You can put things out that are imperfect. You can do things in a way that works for you. You don't have to do everything following the rule book.
And I think that's one of the biggest tips for anyone who wants to start something new, right? Whether it's like starting Saving Cats in Greece, or whereas it's starting your own PR agency or starting your own content creator account, it's just start it, right? Like, it won't start without you. So just do the first step. It doesn't have to be perfect. You don't even need to have a 10-year plan. Just start it. Just start. And then you'll see what comes out of it.
Yeah, I saw a stat somewhere a long time ago, and maybe I'm making it up, but that only 3% of people actually take action on their ideas. So, you know, everyone out there is so worried, oh, if I put this out there, someone's going to steal my idea. They're not, because if they were going to steal your idea, then they would have to actually do the work to make it happen and make it a real thing. Like, if you really want to do this, and you have a cool idea, you just should do the work and do it and put it out there. And it doesn't have to be perfect. But I think that's another thing where, like, people are afraid someone's going to steal their idea. But they're not, because it's a lot of work.
That is so true. Do you have any tips? We have a lot of animal welfare groups, too, that listen to us. Do you have any tips for that side of the industry?
Yeah, definitely. So, like, rescues and shelters?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the rescue and shelter world, sometimes they don't post enough about adoptable pets. You know, if you're really trying to get a pet adopted, you need to do a lot more than just one post about that pet. You know, so I think the same thing happens with businesses. You know, I hear people all the time, oh, I had this pop-up event, no one came. And I'm like, well, what did you do? They're like, well, I had this post on Instagram. I'm like, did you post like a dozen posts on Instagram? And like, were you in your stories? Did you go live? Did you do this? Did you do that? So I would say, especially on social media, to take advantage of all the different tools. So, you know, there's polls. You could do fun polls, like help your audience pick the name of a new dog that comes in or a new litter of kittens that comes in. So that's a way to get people engaged. You know, you can have all kinds of calls to action to encourage people to share a post or tag a friend. But most importantly, you just have to post a lot. And I think that can be really overwhelming to people, again, because of this whole perfection trap and, you know, you want everything to be great. It doesn't have to be great. And actually, kind of counterintuitively, I find video to be a lot easier than photos, because with photos, you're like, oh, I got to get like just the right photo. And oh, their tongue was sticking out in this one and their eyes were closed in that one. If you do a video, it doesn't matter if their tongue is out and their eyes are closed and they're wiggling around, because it's all going to look cute and fun. So I just say take as many videos as you can and just post them all, and like, don't worry too much about planning it and having it all be perfect. Just get it out there.
All right. Well, final question. How can we get a hold of you? And tell us everything that you want people to know about you.
In the next 15 seconds.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you can always go to wearwagrepeat.com, and across social media, you can usually find me at T-Mystic. That's T-M-I-S-T-I-C-K. And on my site, you can find out about Wear, Wag, Repeat Society if you are a petpreneur. But I also have a ton of canine enrichment resources, and I even have a canine enrichment activity pack, which is like a little mini bite-sized course with 10 really cool, original, and unique enrichment activities demonstrated by me and my dog, Lucy, who just recently crossed the Rainbow Bridge. So that's very special to me.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
That's so sad. Well, but you're amazing. You've done everything in the pet industry. You're an influencer. Then you crossed to the petpreneur side. Now you're helping pet. Fantastic courses, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm really enjoying all the canine enrichment stuff. So stay tuned. I might be doing some new enrichment-based something kind of content.
Ooh, you heard it here first. You're definitely going to be at the top of our list for our dog clients.
Oh, thank you.
So we definitely, Alex does all of that for Whisker Media, right, Alex? You're the digital guru. I'm still like old-fashioned media type. But
Mary, you'll find this super interesting is that recently I was working on something called a satellite media tour.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of
those? Those are great.
Yeah. So I had someone reach out to me saying, can you be the canine enrichment expert for our SMT? And so I was like, yes, sure. And then I had to go Google, what is an SMT? And that stands for Satellite Media Tour. And it was such a cool experience. And it was basically, I was physically in a TV production studio. And then they broadcast me in to like 20 different morning news shows all across the country, not simultaneously, like back to back. So I had to do this interview like 20 times back to back. And it was really, really cool experience. But it goes to show that like that more traditional kind of PR is still super relevant.
Oh, yeah. I really think, you know, like morning, especially local news is still the number one place in the U.S. where people get their news. I mean, it's the only place to find out what's happening in your city. And that's unbelievable exposure for you. That's amazing, Tori.
Thank you. Yeah, I was really excited. It was cool to be a part of. And it was cool just to see how the campaign was organized and what all went into it. Because they also layered it with paid ads on social and also some influencer campaign and all kinds of other stuff. So it was really cool to just kind of see how that campaign was organized.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, congratulations, because that's a great thing to do. I mean, if you want to get your brand out there, satellite media tours are the way to go.
I had never heard of this before, but it was so cool.
Yeah, when I was a news producer, we would get pitched by these companies. And, you know, if it was something that was really educational, like what you were doing, absolutely, we would put it on. Because you, as Alex and I know, like these morning news shows are like 7-8 hours long and they need content, right, to fill those holes. And also,
because they're on 5 days a week.
Yes,
too.
5 days a week. And then studies have shown that when animals are shown in a news broadcast, like the viewership goes up by 20%. So that's why when you're watching a newscast and you'll see coming up, we've got the, you know, adoptable dog or cat of the day. That's to get people to stay. And what's shocking is that they really do stay. They really do want to see that story. They want to see animals on TV. And there's nothing. It's animals and babies.
And maybe like cooking segments. I feel like there's a lot of cooking segments.
Yes. All of that is stuff people want to see. You know, like the best way for your 4th of July barbecue. You know, all of those things. But yeah, morning news shows are like the godsend of PR. And I would say that's where Alex and I get the majority of our hits. But anyways, thank you so much for joining us. And we just love talking to you. You are just amazing, Tori. And we have to wrap up the show now. So we're so excited each and every week to be doing this for all of you, where we get to talk to great people like Tori. Do you have a question that you'd like us to answer? Well, reach us to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and then we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. So we'll see you later. And as we always say,
bark loud and purr smart.
See you later, everyone.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.